going to look at Psalm chapter 29. We just might get out a little early tonight. I don't know. We'll see if you're lucky. Psalm 29. 11 verses, and we're going to read all of them. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Lord, I thank you for these verses. And Lord, what they speak to us, I pray that you'll help me tonight to receive of your anointing, to be able to say what your Spirit would say to this group of believers. We'll thank you for what your word accomplishes. In your name we pray. Amen. This chapter has often, as I read through Psalms and I come to it and I see the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. And it just over and over again in this chapter. And try to look at it and consider what it's saying about the voice of the Lord. And it starts out, the chapter has two verses at the beginning before it starts talking about the voice of the Lord. So I want to look at that for a minute with you. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Three times in those verses, it tells us to give something to the Lord. To give something to the Lord. And it speaks to some people. It speaks to the person they're speaking to in verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. O ye mighty. Those of you that have strength, those of you that have means, those of you that have capability, those of you that are able and have the means that you need, you give unto the Lord these things. You know, we often find ourselves in places of prosperity, and those are sometimes the hardest times to remember to give glory to God and to give thanks to God. And so in these first few verses, we see a people that are in prosperity. We see them in a good place. They're mighty. And so he says, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due his name. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we will see the things and the blessings that we have in life as coming from our own making or just being just the circumstances that move our way, and we fail to see that it comes from God. It's all by God's blessing. The strength that we have, the means that we have, the prosperity that we have, it comes from the blessing of God. And so it's important for us in those good times to be able to remember to give God glory and strength. Give him the recognition for who he is and for what he's done. The glory of God, who he is, his greatness, his mightness, his mightiness, the glory of God, his holiness, all the wonderful, his goodness, his benevolence, the glory. Give God glory for who he is, and strength The things that He's done. It's what He's accomplished in my life. It's what He's done. All these blessings come from Him. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father. It all comes from Him. And so the psalmist is reminding us that it is important for us to never forget, but to always be willing to give God glory. And then it finishes out verse 2 saying, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Who are we going to worship? We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to worship Him how? In the beauty of holiness. And so David, the psalmist, is remembering here about the beauty of holiness. Now, to the Israelites, the beauty of holiness had to do with all those things that were around the tabernacle of God. All those things that were around the tabernacle. The beauty of holiness. This was a place where God would meet with His people. And it was a place of beauty. When you read in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, where it talked about putting together this tabernacle, it had gold, it had purple, it had fine twined linen, it had various types of skins. It was put together in a beautiful way. The way that it was arranged, it was set just the way God had decided it to be. And when you came up to that tabernacle, you would see around that tabernacle all of those furniture pieces that were beautiful, made of gold. Some were made of wood overlaid with gold. You had the brazen altar. You had the laver of brass where the priest would wash. Inside you had the candlesticks. You had the altar of incense. You had the Ark of the Covenant. All of these things. So when David was talking about worship Him in the beauty of holiness, he was talking about this set apart place where the presence of God comes down and dwells. And so recognizing that the presence of God is there, that we worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Well, not only did you have the tabernacle and the pieces of furniture, but you also had the priest. They had to have particular garments on, and there were breeches and robes, and I like that word, breeches. There were breeches and robes and a mitre and a hat that they had to wear, and there were various ways that they had to get dressed if they were come into the presence of God, and they had to be clean. And so it says, worship Him in the beauty of holiness, that we could come to this place that was set apart for the presence of God to dwell, and we could come into His presence and we could worship Him. We had that privilege. So when David's talking about worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness, he's talking about that we get to be in His presence. We get to be there, and in His presence we can worship Him. In His presence, we worship Him. Today, we worship Him in the beauty of holiness, not in a tabernacle. We have a fine church building that God has blessed us with, and it's a beautiful place. But the reality is today, to worship Him in the beauty of holiness is that when He sets us apart and saves us, He comes and lives in us. And so we can worship Him. We don't have to go to a temple in and of ourselves. We have His presence, and we can worship Him. So we have this introduction here of giving God honor. We're in a good place. Things feel, you feel strength. You feel confidence in verse 1 and 2. But in verse 3 through 10, there seems to be a shaking of confidence. There seems to be a shaking of confidence. Because now what the psalmist begins to turn to is he begins to look at some pretty scary things. And so you see here, he's talking about the voice of the Lord. But while he's talking about the voice of the Lord, he looks at some things that aren't pleasant. He looks at the waters, the thunder, and the many waters. See, these are natural events that come upon us, and they're scary. I remember when I was a kid, probably every kid scared of thunderstorms. I can remember we had those big old tall pine trees in our backyard, and they would sway when the wind would blow, and I would look out those windows and I would be fearful of what was going to happen next. I remember once when I was a kid, Pepaw Gilpin was at the house, and it hadn't started storming, but it must have been about to storm. I think it was still, you know, didn't look overcast to me, but all of a sudden we're sitting there in the living room, and pow! Lightning struck the tree that's about 15 foot from the house. And I can remember flying across the floor to take cover, and I don't know what Pepaw Gilpin did, but it was a scary moment. Now the psalmist is turning his attention to the fact that there are things in life that bring men, mighty men, to fear. See, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, glory and strength. Glory due to his name. There's things in life that cause us to feel like we aren't mighty. There's things in life that scare us. There's things in life that bring us to trembling. That bring us to trembling. So the rest of this, chapter until you get to verse 10 is talking about all of these events, these cataclysmic, natural events of disaster that can take place. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. And you know, you think about flooding situations. I remember back in the 70s when Barberville flooded and Dad had to go get, Big Pop and Big Dad and Big Mom. Up in Barberville to get them out of there because of flooding. You go to the Cumberland Falls when it's rained a lot, and that roaring of that water. That water can be a scary thing. When I go to the ocean, I don't get very deep out in it because I don't have much faith in my abilities to stand against that ocean of water. I don't do any swimming in the ocean. I'll wade out there a little bit and get, maybe if it's calm, I might let it get up to here. But I never let my feet leave the ground because I have respect for the might of that ocean. I'm not about to take it on. And you know, there are storms. There are floods. You think of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. You think of these events, these things that happen that bring fear to us. They bring worry to us. We wonder if we're going to live through it. We're wondering if we're going to make it. But in these verses, I like to see this as the fact that the voice of the Lord is upon the water. When the water is roaring loud, when the water is pouring, when the strength of the water is rushing up against us, He's over top of it. His voice is louder. His voice is not, it's not weak. So when the waters and the floods are raging, and whenever you're by a river that's raging, there's a noise. When you're at the ocean and you hear that, and it's an awesome sound that causes fear to come to you. But I believe what these verses are saying is that when the ocean is roaring, when the waves are roaring, when the thunder is roaring and causing fear and anxiety in our lives, the voice of the Lord is louder. He's louder. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. He's above it. What's that song? I think the McCamey sing. When the waves are over my head, they're under his feet. He's above it. He's above it. When these things come to us that we don't understand, He is above it. He is above it. When the thunders roar, His voice is louder. His voice is over it. The thunders do not speak the final word, but the voice of God speaks the final word about my situation. The roaring of the waters do not overwhelm me. God's voice is with me. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You watch that Cumberland Falls. I've never been to Niagara Falls, and they say it's 10 times better than Cumberland Falls. But you watch that majesty of that water as it pours over that fall. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's powerful. Verse 5 looks at another area. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. You have this tempest of the water and the rain. You have the thunder and the lightning. These are things that break the cedars. That tree in front of our house, when the lightning struck, it shattered it and took the top out of it. When the winds that blow, whenever we see, we drive down the road and there's a tree that's fell down, Rebecca always says, must have been a storm. Must have been a storm. And so we drove by the place one week. She said, it must have been a storm. We drove by it the next week. She said, must have been a storm. I said, yeah, that's what you said last week. Must have been a storm. Storms blow those winds over. Storms blow those trees over. They shatter them. If you look at, they talk about hurricanes that the way that it clears out. We drove through Mississippi just after Hurricane Katrina. We drove through Louisiana and there were trees and signs and buildings and all kinds of things just completely taken away and pushed out of its normal place and destroyed because of the wind. The voice of the Lord is louder than the wind of a hurricane that shatters the cedars, that breaks the cedars of Lebanon. This could also be talking about the powers of nations as well, that he's greater than that. He maketh them also to skip like the calves. Whenever lightning strikes, it shakes the ground. It shakes the ground. Whenever the hurricane was coming through Pensacola, when I was there, and the winds, you could feel it in the building. You could feel just a rumble of those winds, and that was a scary time. These winds, that just the relentless winds of a hurricane. Well, the voice of the Lord is louder than the winds of a hurricane. Causes this ground to shake. Causes Lebanon and Syrian, even the very mountains that the psalmist knew there in Palestine, they shake as lightning strikes. Earthquakes come. Earthquakes cause fear. Earthquakes cause despair. When they strike, but the voice of the Lord is louder. The voice of the Lord is over it. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. This is talking about lightning again. It divides the flames of fire. It brings out, and so do the psalmist. He's seeing the lighting up of the sky as fire. He's seeing the thunderbolt, the lightning bolts as the fire just divided and coming, and then they understand and they recognize lightning will strike the ground and it will catch a tree on fire. It'll catch a house on fire. It will catch things on fire. The Lord, this voice of thunder that's in the sky that can bring fear, that can bring despair, that can cause us to shrink in our inability to do anything to stand against it. The voice of the Lord is over it. The voice of the Lord is louder. The voice of the Lord is in control. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. He shakes the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is a scary place in and of itself. Have visions of that cowboy out in the desert with no water in his canteen. You didn't enter that desert unless you had supplies to get across. Now, Josh and Dad drove across it in their Ford Ranger, and they weren't worried too much. They just had to make sure they had enough gas to get across. But in the psalmist's day, the wilderness was a scary place. It was a place you didn't want to go unless you had resource and supply to be there. It was a place you didn't want to get caught in and get stuck in. And that's the way it is in life. We have these wildernesses, but the voice of the Lord, it shakes the wilderness. It's over the wilderness. Even this part of life, there are times in our life where things, you know, they seem dry. They seem, we feel parched, like the blessing is not there. And we feel like that we've been forgotten and we're on an island and we're alone and there's nothing, no resource there to help us. And we're feeling like that we're losing every minute more strength than what we can spare to lose in that wilderness. But it says the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. And we're going to come back to that here in just a second. I want to move on to verse 9 though. It says the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. Okay, so let's talk about this for a minute. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. So we have these deer, or these deer-like animals, it says the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. And that's to bring forth, to birth. Well, if you look back at verse 8, that word, the Lord shaketh the wilderness. It's the same word as to calve. So in verse 9, it says, hinds maketh the hinds to calve. It's 2342 in your Hebrew concordance. That's the number. Well, in verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh. It's 2342 in your Hebrew concordance, causing to bring forth. So it's not just that the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, but it's that the voice of the Lord shakes it up and brings forth from it. It brings forth from it. So we have here the hinds to calve. Well, think about childbirth. It is an unpleasant experience, though I've never personally been involved except to see it. It's an unpleasant experience. And I would imagine that it is a time when you feel like you're not going to live through it. Am I right? But you know what? The voice of the Lord is over it. And through those pains of childbirth, the Lord is there to give life. He's there to give life. We have these events of life that scare us: the rain, the wind, the storm, the desert, the lightning, childbirth. These things that seem to be out of our control are in His control. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. You know, these deer would, in their, it would seem that it's remarkable to me that human beings have been able to live at all. When I look at our weakness and frailness when they're born, and I look at that baby and I just think, how in the world did human beings make it? And then you go out into nature, how in the world? But it's God who's in control. Makes the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. You know, when the lightning strikes, it shows everything around it in the night. Discovereth the forest. We have all these things. We started the chapter with some people who were in a good place. Now we've read verses that were all over the place with anxiety and turmoil and difficulty and trouble and trial and unsureness about what's going to happen and how things are going to turn out. And here at the end of verse 9, we're back at that temple again. In His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. You know, we need to be reminded in the good times to give God glory. And in the bad times, we got to give Him glory. We've got to give Him glory. Everyone in the temple speak. Everyone speak of His glory. And this word kind of indicates it's a compulsion. It's just, I can't help but speak it. I just can't help but speak it. And you know what? When you're in a trial, oftentimes, you know the Lord had to be with you. You know the Lord's got to be with you. And you just can't help but say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, I know you're with me. Lord, I'm trusting you. And so from these people that were mighty, standing in a good place to go to the temple, to go to the tabernacle, in the beauty of holiness to worship him, now we've got some who barely made it there. And they glorify him as well. Verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. He is on the flood. He's over top of it. He's above it. It's not taking him by surprise. It's not causing him to wonder about how things are going to work out. He is the king. There at the beginning of the verse, the Lord sitteth. That's talking about a king sitting on a throne. He sits on that flood. He sits on that flood. He's in charge. He is the sovereign one. He is the one who rules this universe. He sits there, and he sits the king forever. And no matter how loud the thunder roars, no matter how fast the waters turn against us and rise against us, no matter how great a fire is kindled by the lightning that strikes in our life, no matter what wilderness we have found ourselves in, he is still our king. He is still in charge. We can trust him. We can put our confidence in him. He is going to see us through. We can trust in him. These events of life, he's bigger than the wilderness. He's bigger than the flood. He's bigger than the fire. He's bigger than all of it. So we go through this picture of these things in life that are not what we want them to be. They scare us. They come against us. But verse 11, here's what we know is going to happen. No matter what the storm looks like, no matter what the flames of fire, how high they rise, verse 11 says, there's two wills. Look at the word will in that verse. The Lord will give strength unto his people. As long as this world exists in its fallen condition, there's going to be thunder and lightning and storms. There's going to be fire and wildernesses and difficulties. But this verse tells me, as long as life endures, the Lord will give strength unto his people. Don't doubt it for a minute. The Lord will give strength to his people. The circumstance may not feel like a lot of strength there, but the Lord will give strength to his people. You may be in the middle of a flood, you may be in the middle of a fire, but the Lord will give strength to his people. The second one, the Lord will bless his people with peace. He will. The anxiousness of a flood and a fire, the anxiousness of a storm, the anxiousness of a wilderness and a desert, all of those things that cause us to lose our... Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Okay, he left it. And he didn't just stop there. He just did not stop there. He didn't say, I left you some peace, there you go, and walk off from it. But he said, my peace I leave, my peace I give unto you. I just leave it there. I'm over here to put it right in your hands. I'm here for you to have it. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's a truth, and that's a reality. The Lord will do it. In the first part of the verse, we got some people that are on top of it, and he's saying, you just give him glory. Through the rest of it, we've got people that are under the flood and they're in the fire. But he says to every one of us in verse 11, he will give you strength and he will bless you with peace. That's a promise from the Lord. And so in our circumstances, we just got to look to him, the powerful voice of God. He will speak peace to our situation. Just like he stood there on the bow of that ship in that Galilean Sea, when those disciples were afraid because of the storm, because of the wind, because of the water, he stood and said, peace, be still. And that's what he speaks to us. He speaks to us. He will give unto his people strength, and he will bless his people with peace. That's a promise that I'm standing on. God's going to give us strength. God is going to give me strength. God is going to give you strength. God is going to give us peace. He's going to give you peace. I believe in our church, as we go through a storm and a trial, as that we are with our pastor, God's going to give his people strength. God's going to bless his people with peace. I believe Brother Jarvis and Sister Jarvis, right now, they're in that hospital. That's a storm. That's a fire. That's a wind. That's a bad time to be in. But you know what my Bible says? It says the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. It's a reality and it is a promise. And I'm trusting God for that. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are our peace and you are our strength. Lord, that we can just give you glory in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the fire. We give you glory when things are going good. We give you glory when things are going bad, because regardless of what our circumstance, we know that you're in charge and we know that you're in control, and you're going to give us strength and you're going to give us peace, a peace that passes all understanding, a divine strength that we don't understand in the natural, but we know it comes from you as we live in this life, as we go through circumstances, as we endure the things that come against us, Lord, you give us a strength that is only a divine strength. It's only a strength that comes from the Spirit and the power of God. You give us a peace that only comes from the comforting work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you for that. We glorify you and we magnify you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus.